Hello and welcome. In today's episode, my guest is Errol Makaseeb, a fellow student and a good friend. In this episode, we talk about his journey from applying to this school and working here, his input on life and what the true meaning of happiness is. And I hope you enjoy. So, Errol, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for letting me on. Perfect.
So first question I want to ask you is, how have you gotten to where you are today? What challenges have you faced and what moments of success have you gone through?
I think taking a lot of risk. Like, I could easily go to like a normal like college or like a typical sick form, but I decided to go to a weird one instead.
A great one.
yeah, and I think it's like breaking out of my shell, because like I think like from year 7 until like year 10, I didn't really talk to anybody outside my year. And of course, the final year that I'm there, I actually finally start talking to people and like working on projects with them. And so what are the other questions you said? All the other ones you said?
We'll keep going on this one. I want to know.
Oh, right.
Like, what was the process of applying and stuff? How did that go for you?
So I originally applied to the main bar. Because I vividly remember how I first heard of it. It wasn't through word of mouth. I'm so glad this happened, because if it didn't, I probably would have never heard of the school. So I was on the way to school in the car, and then I was like behind the bus. You know how like on top of the license plates of the bus, there's usually a small ad there?
Yeah.
It just so happened that was a BOA ad, and I was like, okay.
You know what's so funny? That's exactly how I found out about
BOA. No way.
That's so cool.
Bus advertisement works. So I like saw that. I didn't think much about it. And then like just randomly 2 weeks later, I was like, oh yeah, what's that BOA thing? Or like BOA. I thought it was BOA at first. Bank of America. So that BOA thing. And then I was like, oh, broadcast? Really? And then I was like, no way. Wait, what? And then like at first I was just like, oh, this would be a cool school and stuff. And then like I actually started to be like, oh, I should go here.
Yeah.
And then I talked to Leorge, who I also technically do a podcast with, and he was like, cool. He didn't think much about it either. But then like once I started like telling him, oh, you can do this, we can you don't need to do A level, no exams, and then we're like, yo.
This is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and then at this point, I was like, I wonder if any other people have heard of it. And to my surprise, people knew about the school. I think it was because, like, since it's, like, one of the only, like, well-known creative schools in Birmingham, then, like, everybody knows, because people go there for dance, music, mm-hmm. theatre, so on and so forth. And, yeah, so after that, it's like, I had to tell my parents. And it's hard to break the mold when you have Asian parents. Because to go up to them and say, actually, I don't want to stay at my grammar school. I don't want to do business, computing, and maths.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the maths part I'm still technically doing, but, like, I'll get into that later. So, and they're like, excuse me? And I was like, what are you doing there? It's like, oh, it's a broadcast thing. It's like, what's that? And it's like, so then I'll like kind of explain. I do a really hesitant to start, which is like understandable, because it's like usually you'd know where you'd want to go for sick form at least when you're in year 10, and then to suddenly just be like, no, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then I was like, right, I should just apply. I didn't realize that everybody would get aptitude workshops, so when I received one, I was like, oh, I'm special. So then yeah, so I also found out about Stage and Screen when I went to an open evening. And then I was like, it's one of the smaller schools, probably.
Yeah.
I probably won't be going there in September. So I was just like, sure, I'll just apply for that as well, why not? So then we get to like the actual aptitude workshop. So yeah, I was like, whoa, people. And I was like, I don't know who to talk to. Mm-hmm. And then
we actually met at the first.
Yeah, I know. I was going to talk about that. So I think we did the workshop. I don't fully remember what it was, but I think we had to create a concept for a game show.
Yeah.
And then I think we had like lunch then. And then I was going to sit down and I was at the canteen going to get food. And then you're like, hey, do you want to, can I sit with you? I was like, sure. not knowing that we were doing this right now. And then I like showed you some of my stuff, and then you showed me some of mine. Mm. So wait, what? Wait, I show you some of mine and you show me some of yours. That's so complicated. Yeah, so that happened, and then it's like just had to wait. Mm-hmm. And then I think while I was waiting for the result for that, we did the stage and screen. I don't think I saw you.
Yeah, I didn't do the stage and screen one. So my story is a bit different. I first applied for main BOA and didn't get a place.
Yeah.
And then so I applied again.
And you didn't,
and didn't get a place. Yeah, again. So
and then you applied at stage and screen.
So did you get a place at both then?
Yeah, I did get a place at both. So I did the BOA stage and screen mock up, and that's it's so funny how, and that's where I met Gadu. Literally, yeah. We had to do a workshop where we had to film like a food ad, and I was partnered up with her. Once again, I didn't think much about it. I thought I'd only see her there and then. And then, like, fast forward, and we're literally just laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And making like, a podcast. We're laughing, making a podcast. So I got both of those letters, and oh my God, I found out that the letters had been delivered while I was, like, on holiday.
Oh, wow.
And technically it wasn't a holiday, it was a day out, but it's like I had to wait until I get home, and I was just panicking because like you told me you didn't get in. I was like, oh, did I get in? And then I got home, and then I was like, oh, no way I got in.
That's so cool.
And then I showed my parents, and they were like, okay. I was like,
okay.
And then I think I got the stage and screen one at a later point. I think I might have gotten it before. I didn't feel as excited because I'm going main bar. Yeah. But I got in there, and then like always like, oh my God, when I told everybody that I was going to BOA, like I've never like, I feel like I could cry right now. Like it was actually because everybody was like hugging me and they were congratulating me, and I was like, wow, that's so cool. This means I'm actually, you know.
Yeah, it was a very big moment for me, especially not getting applied for the first two times. The third time, I remember calling my dad and him crying his eyes out. That was a great moment. I loved that.
But it's at that moment, it's like, oh, now the countdown begins.
Yeah.
Like, and then I think at that point, I was just like milking as much of like the grammar school experience as I could. Like I was like doing fun stuff. I was just talking to friends, and especially since it was like near the end of the, because it was GCSE time, so it was like before the revision period would begin, like all of us were like, right, let's go out with a bang. Then I think we had prom as well, and I was just like emotional during that as well, so I'm not going to be seeing some of these people ever again. Prom was like... We were just like dancing, and then I don't know, it just felt really euphoric.
It's awesome.
I'm really glad I had the prom experience, because I think the only two proms I've had were like end of year sort of proms. So I had one in year six that was like, and then like this one I was like, oh, but it was a really fun time. And then I got the news that like literally like a few weeks before we were about to get to begin, they're like, oh, so we've changed our mind. So you're not going to main bar. And I'm like, what?
Where are you going?
And then it said like, oh, you're going to be transferred to stage and screen. I was like, what? It's like, and then I read the thing. It made sense. But I was like, what?
Yeah.
So like, I talked to Leorge about it. And then we were like on the phone discussing it. And then you're just like, what's going to happen? Am I still doing that? And then I think there was an open evening. I asked the principal. And then he was like, so about your maths? You may not be able to do it at stage and screen. I was like, because I applied for A-level maths as well, so I had like that backup. I felt like I'm gonna sneeze. So I had that backup, but then when I found out, it's like, oh, you're gonna have to go to the other one, to other bowl instead.
Yeah,
because it's like we were expecting to take the course, so take the maths. But like, because you transfer, because they don't have like a maths teacher here.
Mm.
And so like we had to, I was like, so how are we going to get there? And then I found out, oh, they'll arrange a taxi for you. So okay, well, I'm sold.
Yeah, it works.
That's perfect. Because it's like, I get like the best of both worlds, because it's massive there. And then it's like, it's still small here, but it's like, has the better equipment. So it's like split half and half. And then that was... and then I think we did another aptitude workshop. It was interesting because it's like seeing some of the people from the workshop and seeing what they are now, it's like, oh, wait. Yeah.
Recognizing people.
Yeah. And then I think, I don't think I saw you, did I?
No, I didn't do an aptitude test here. I just got a place here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. Actually, no, it wasn't aptitude. I'm sorry. Like, it was the sort of induction sort of thing. It wasn't like, I don't know what it was, but like, yeah. So I think I was with Lee Orge and then like did some game show stuff. And then it was like
awesome. Summer
holidays. And then we had summer project. We had to do that.
Yeah,
that
so Hoops and Dreams.
That was really fun because it's like, I think that was the first like full on like graphically like popping.
Yeah.
And
you like to make normal things dramatic or like awesome. You add a little Errol flair to your videos. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So I made that video. I was like, because like we were given the summer project, there was a folder. And then I was like, I've watched all of them. The folder's been taken down since then, but it's like, it's been
really... I watched all of them as well.
It's cool. It's been really interesting. I think I was one of the first few to upload.
You were.
Yeah, and then I felt like, I've got a good one. I've got a good one. And then when we actually started, oh my God, induction period here was crazy.
It was all over the place.
Literally, like, I don't even remember what happened other than like, we got into our forms. And then we just went to Harry Potter World.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So I hardly knew any of them for like, what, 2-3 days? And I wasn't even on the same coach as you.
Yeah.
I don't think I was in the same coach as Gabby either.
Really?
I'm not sure. I don't think I was.
I don't remember.
Yeah, and it's weird because I think some people who were there, they've since like dropped out of Stage and Screen, which is really...
interesting.
Yeah, because it's like, where'd they go? Where did they come from? Where'd they go?
Yeah, so I was going to ask...
Call Nigel.
Where does your passion for video making come from?
I think I remember my first YouTube video was literally just me making a paper airplane, flying it into a bin, and I just posted it. I don't know where it's gone. It was so an older channel. I have no idea where it went. So I don't know. I just did that, and I think that was my first YouTube video. And then like I don't know where I got the bug from, but I think like. I don't know, it's because I think it might come from like presentations because I love presentations.
Yes, you do.
Like I just love making them like ridiculous for like something so simple. So like I do remember where I got it from. So have you heard of Oxplore before?
I haven't. No.
So I think it's this thing, Oxford University, that it's like a secondary school initiative of like, oh, answer the big questions in life, like can money buy you happiness? And I was like, it's so weird. I made this in like iMovie and Canva. Like I made this video about can money buy happiness. I'm not sure if I've shown it to you.
I haven't seen it.
I need to show it to you. And then it's like, they're like, oh, make a podcast, make a video. And I was like, why not make both? So I did a podcast with Leoj. That was my first ever. Like we called it the random podcast. It was the topic was just can money buy happiness. It was this just 4-minute podcast of us just talking about it. And that was what led on to us making Flowable. And then and then the video as well. I was like, let's put a little extra effort into this. I literally asked my dad for his like Canon EOS like 2011 camera. And I was just like, I need to film something. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I literally, you know, was it like a dolly shot where it's like sliding or is a tracking shot? And then like, I literally just got like a cloth. Put the camera on it.
Yeah, I've
and
seen then I used the control. That's so cool.
And then, I'm remembering the shot that I did in my head, and it was just ridiculous. So then I posted that, and then like, the teacher who's organized it, I think she like, sent it to the person who ran our secondary school Twitter, posted it, and then it's like, by the time I come back, people were like, "Yo, your video is sick."
That's so cool.
I was like, "Oh wow, thank you," I was like. I was really happy with it. And then like people were like talking about it. It was really nice. That was my like first like, oh, I can make videos.
So like the rush of comments from other people.
Yeah.
Encouraging to keep going.
Yeah. Because I was like putting a little more extra effort because like other people made videos and they were like, whoa, yours is so much better than mine. I was like, oh, thank you. And then I think it's so weird. Thanks to that teacher, like, because usually that sort of initiative, people be like, it's just another thing to do. If that thing, if the University of Oxford didn't exist, if they didn't create that initiative, I probably would not be here.
Wouldn't be here.
Not need, so cool. Like, if that teacher did not like even think of like promoting that, I wouldn't be here. I wish I could like thank her, but I think she left the school.
That's so cool to see where you started. That's awesome.
I wish I could like go and tell her, she's like, you're the reason why I'm here today. And she's like, I don't even know you. So that, and then I don't remember exactly what next opportunity I actually no, I do remember the next opportunity. So it was Flowable. So like I think a few months after we made it, Leo just randomly called me up and just was like, hey, so you know that podcast we did? And I was like, yes. He was like, what if we like made that a series? And I was like,
let's do it.
So we made our first episode, and then I think we made two episodes. We literally just recorded. I had like literally Apple earbuds.
Yeah.
Not even AirPods, just the Apple earbuds to record on. And then Leo had a really crappy headset. So the first episode, the audio quality was terrible. But like when it was released, people responded really positively. They were just like, yo, podcast?
That's so
yo,
cool.
How do you make a podcast? I was like, magic.
So like the relationship with audience, I think, is a very key thing for me to keep creating.
Yeah.
So how do you think your relationship with numbers can affect what you create?
I think when you're like doing the podcast, I think like the novelty really wears off. So it's like the first episode got like 300 views, and then I think consequently it got like 180. I was like, oh. It's like you'd expect like more people to be listening. Yeah. I was promoting it rather heavily, I'll admit. But I think numbers does play a part of it, because in my YouTube channel, it's like, and I think you're rewarded for uploading at the right time, and you're like punished for not. Like yeah, I definitely uploaded my GCSE results video literally the afternoon of results day, which was a really good idea.
It was.
Because I checked, as of right now, it's on 26K views.
26K, yeah, I remember in lesson, looking first day, 5K, next day, 10K, the day after, 20K, now it's at 26K, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, I wonder if people are going to like, watch my the new subs are gonna watch my video. It did all right, actually. It did pretty decently. I feel bad saying like I did like decent, even though like most people would think it's like really good. I think it's on eight, like it was that music video that I made here. I got like 600-700, but like compared to 26K, I was like, that's a bit different.
So why haven't you created a video in 3 months?
I'm just really like preoccupied with what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
And also I'm just like struggling to find, because I don't want my niche to be like study content. Because even though like I could easily put out like, oh, how to revise for GCSE maths, which I was planning on doing, it's like, do I really want to be known for study? Because I'm not the best person to ask for study tips. I studied the day before my GCSEs, like every test, because I was like, oh, if I study like 6 weeks before, then I'll just forget it, and then I need to do it again, so why not just do it the night before while it's fresh in my head, which somehow worked. I think when it numbers is, it's tricky. I think YouTube like really does a number on creators when it happens. It's like it's difficult, because it's like for the like popular ones, it's like pretty easy to just push out any video as long as you're like consistent, and then people will still watch it. But I think especially when you're like a smaller channel, it's hard to break through. And right now, I'm kind of more focused on like what I'm doing here. Like, I think at this point, although YouTube was like back then, I was just like, oh, I need to upload a video.
Yeah.
So right now, I think my kind of like matured a little bit. Just be like, oh, maybe I should focus on what I'm actually doing at school, because that's that summer holiday period was perfect time to make videos, and then now it's not. I'm making videos, but I'm just not making it for my channel.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just upload school projects.
So what's the lesson that took you the longest to learn?
Just in life in general?
Yeah.
Lesson that took me the longest to learn? That there's not one singular path to like success. I think.
I love that.
Yeah, I easily could have like gone and just done 3 A-levels, go to like a good university, but not one that I specifically want to go just because I want to. Like I feel more of an urge to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that's just really exciting. Like, there are so many ways that people can become successful, and even that goal of success is different for loads of people. I don't know what success looks to me, but I think that I've said this before. I just want to do cool stuff in life, And I think what I'm doing here right now, I think I had to learn the lesson that sometimes you just have to take really massive risks that, like, in the moment you think, oh,
that's so cool.
I'm so worried that it won't turn out. But it's like, yeah. I'm here now. And I think, like, there's so much, like, interesting stuff happening. And it's like a typical school student. Like, if I hadn't thought of, like, applying here, it's like, I wouldn't have thought of, like, you'd ever be able to do if you want here. Like, literally, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this. You know that, well, we have to, like, a show to commission, or that we want to pitch for commission. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say. I won't say, but I feel powerful. Like, I can, like, but, like, for a major television channel, it's that the fact that potentially I will be the one to pitch that to the commissioner of said channel in the summer. Cool. It's like, you'll never see somebody else. Well, never. I mean, the one other person in the country, but, like, you'll never see another person say, oh, because of my skills in so-and-so, I was able to commission a show for this channel, which thus helped me out with my skills in this.
The opportunities here are amazing.
So, yeah, it's like, it really is getting me wondering about uni as well, because I'm not sure, like, because I want to get, my parents want me to go to uni. I'm like, I want, because I think this school, I'm like straying away from like normal stuff. So I kind of want to get back to that eventually. But it's like, even now, it's like, maybe I could just apprenticeship, get like a career now.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take risks.
Yeah. But I mean, I won't know until I get there.
Yeah, it's true.
But it is hard to, like, because like year 13, they're like, make a plan for your future now. I'm just like, okay. It's like, I've started and still I don't know. I mean, I have a few universities, but it's like, will I actually go to any of them when I get the offers, if I do get the offer?
That's awesome. I love that. So cool. So what makes you come alive?
This school.
Yeah?
That's so cool. I can't. Like, I've never laughed so much in a week.
So true.
When I'm like not here. I think, like, even though, like, other people be like, oh, if you're laughing and like falling around in class, that means that you're not disciplining yourself. I think that's just something about this being like an adult, like, learning environment, where it's like, I feel I can do that, but I was like, I still know, like, right, you need to get the work done. I think they have the very sort of the sort of attitude where it's like, oh, well, it's your fault if you don't keep up. And it's like, well, it's a good idea. They're not like babying us.
It's very much the same for me. I feel like we get to have loads of fun here, but we also have loads of fun creating what we're supposed to create, doing what we're told, but having fun at the same time. It's amazing.
This school is so randomly generated. Like, we can literally just whenever, in the morning, you know, instead of having a line, let's record a podcast. Let's play card games. Now.
Yep.
What was the question?
What makes you come alive?
What makes you come alive? Yeah, so I think just there are so many cool people here. And I think there are so many other, like, cool people, like, outside of school, like, in my personal life. And it's like, and I think also the opportunity that I'm, like, going to Lisbon in summer. So cool. And the fact that, like, oh, I can learn Portuguese. I only just found this out, like, on the weekend, but apparently at the event I'm going to, they're doing a beach volleyball tournament.
Wow,
and I'm
that's
like,
fun.
I'm like, I want to do, I've never been able to play proper volleyball, but like beach volleyball in Portugal. Like, it's what?
YouTube video idea right there.
Yo, GoPro on my head. Just
you should do it.
Yeah, I should. I was planning on making a video about Lisbon as well. Just like, I learned Portuguese in a week, but I decided to just start already.
Yeah.
But I haven't recorded that. Can't do anything.
Sorry.
But I'm also like, because I've been using language learning apps, I've been able to talk to some really cool people.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So right now I think my life's looking pretty good.
That's awesome.
So I'm very happy about it. I love it. Yeah.
So the opposite of that, what's something that you're struggling with right now?
I think I've already kind of touched on this, but I think you know, like, knowing where to go next, because this school is so good, but I'm only here for 2 years. I'm not here for very long. So it's like,
and it's going by so quick.
Yeah,
like, we've been here for like 6 months, and it's felt like we started yesterday.
Yeah, first year you're thinking, oh, we've just started, and then like second year, like, oh, we should start thinking about how we're gonna leave.
Yeah.
So I think tough. It's like, I know some really cool people here that I wouldn't be seeing them as much in a few years, like in a year or so. And also just like there are some projects here that can be pretty stressful, like especially because I gravitate a lot towards directorial roles and like first AD.
I do the same. It's totally.
It's like I don't like feeling too responsible. I feel like there should be someone more responsible than me because usually I'll just stand there and just like, don't do that.
Yeah.
just casually eating a pot. You're just like, stop messing about. It's like because like also struggling. It's just working. I don't know. There's something I think I'll find hard in future is that I won't be able to work with my friends on 100% of the projects I do.
Yeah.
I won't be able to choose groups anymore. Well, I might, but like I won't be able to choose the exact people. So I think I'm just struggling with like the future. I think that's more anything. But it's like some may say it's not a struggle, but like, I don't know. It's like a struggle, and like it sort of is, but it's sort of kind of a joy, kind of a struggle, kind of a juggle, you know. Yeah.
So what is an idea that recently came to life?
Of mine?
Yeah.
I feel like there were loads, but I don't. We made that game show.
Yeah.
So we made this. I'll talk to the camera. So we made this game show called Insert Game Show Title Here. And it's basically a really randomly generated show. So we have like, in our pilot, we have like word games. It's like, because I wanted to like try presenting something. And I think presenting the game show was really interesting. I could definitely do with some improvement. Knocked over again. Presenting's difficult. I found that presenting can be pretty hard. But like, I'm sure with practice, like, it'll improve. But yeah, that idea came to life because I was like, I think it's the first group where like, it was a relatively big group where I could like actually choose who I was with.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was really fun. We planned it all out. We got the graphics. It turned out pretty decently as well. It could definitely like be juju'd up a little bit more. But
it's fun to have the freedom and creativity to bring ideas to life here. It's great.
It's very nice. Yeah.
It's cool. Mm. So when was the last time you lost track of time because you were working on something?
Speaking of which, what time is it right now?
Oh, yeah, we're kind of doing it now.
It's 11:12.
Yeah.
What was the time when I've lost track? Every single day I'm here.
Really?
Like, I want an hour at my old school. Feels longer than 3 hours here. Like there's actually like 3 hours goes by so quickly, and it's like with math lessons you can sort. I don't feel like, I think all of my lessons at Bowood, they don't feel as long as my, even though they're like the same length. Like math, it's like it feels a little bit long, but it's not as long as like, because when you're doing those classes consecutively, you're just
it's
like, when will it end? So
why do you think our lessons here go by so quick?
I think it's because you're not doing the same thing every day. Like, you're not just, like, looking at a board and making notes and answering questions. Oh, my God. My geography teacher, hello if he's watching, but we would do the same thing every single lesson. Make notes, do questions from the exact same textbook. Like, literally, no change to that pattern.
Yeah.
Like, he was a good teacher. He was Scottish. But, I'm sorry, Mr. Quinn, but your lessons were just the same. You were a really good teacher, but it was just, like, I get you have to teach us back, but it was just the same thing. Mm. I'm genuinely worried I'll become popular enough that he will have watched it, and then he'll contact me, and then he'll be like, what did you say?
What did you say to me?
What did you say to me?
That's awesome.
But it's just fun. It's diverse, fresh, different. I think the fact that we have like different teachers as well, because we've had like three teachers at this point, which has been really interesting.
It's been fun. Okay, so to end this episode, I want to ask you, how would you define happiness?
Ooh, that's hard. I feel like I would have a definition ready, but it's like, even I don't know how to explain it. Happiness, I think it's like being content with what you have, and like, instead of like always finding new things, like fostering what's close to you.
Yeah,
I think like definitely like friendships and stuff have been like taking care of those and like developing them more. It's like, I think, yeah, that's why I'm like pretty happy right now. Like, also weather's really good.
Yeah.
Great friends, great fun. It's like, I enjoy Mondays.
That's so
cool. Because I don't need to wake up at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, I decided to wake up at 7 because I had to come here. But like, it's like not for something that like, I can just do this. I'm just doing this because I want to.
That's awesome.
So happiness for me is, it's happiness. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, Earl. Super fun.
I've told my story.
You have.
I want to do a drop mic thing, but I've told my story.
There we go. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There we go. We're going to end it there.
Okay. Right. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. We're done. That was super fun.
Did that stop recording?